Dear friends in Christ, as we have entered into the pre-Lenten season, we know that it is the mind of Holy Mother the Church that we should meditate and prepare for the season of Lent itself, so that when we begin to do penance, fast, and abstain on Ash Wednesday, we will make it beneficial for ourselves and more pleasing to Almighty God. In light of this, I wanted to read to you what the liturgical year says about the pre-Lenten season that we are in right now, and what it says about the season of Lent itself. For the pre-Lenten season, it says, after having spent the preparatory time of Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima in meditating upon our spiritual infirmities and upon the wounds caused in us by sin, we should be ready to enter upon the penitential season. We should have a clearer knowledge of the justice and holiness of God and of the dangers that await an impenitent soul, and that our repentance might be earnest and lasting, we have bade farewell to the vain joys and the distractions of the world. We have humbled ourselves by the remembrance that these bodies will soon be like the ashes we will receive on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday. So he highlights the ideal dispositions we should have acquired in the time of preparation. Largely humility, but also a sense of repentance for our past offenses, awakening in our souls a lively contrition and the firm resolution to make the best of this season for the greater honor and glory of God, and because time is short. We should make this Lent as if it were our last. Now, for the Lenten season itself, this should be the source of meditation for us. The liturgical year says, the 40 days fast, which we call Lent, is the Church's preparation for Easter and was instituted at the very commencement of Christianity. Our Blessed Lord himself sanctioned it by his fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert. And though he would not impose it on the world by an express command, which then could not have been open to the power of dispensation, yet he showed plainly enough by his own example that fasting, which God so frequently ordered in the Old Law, was to be also practiced by the children of the New Law. The disciples of St. John the Baptist came one day to Jesus and said to him, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but the disciples, thy disciples, do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast. He goes on to explain that in the section of the New Testament called the Acts of the Apostles, which tells us the stories of some of the works of the apostles, it is related that the disciples of our Lord applied themselves to fasting. In their epistles, they recommend it to all the faithful as well. Nor could it be otherwise, the liturgical year says, For though the death of our Lord and Savior brought about our redemption, still we are sinners, and where there is sin, there must be expiation. The apostles, therefore, legislated for our weakness by instituting at the very commencement of the Christian Church that the solemnity of Easter should be preceded by a universal fast. And it was only natural that they should have made this period of penance to consist of 40 days, seeing that our Divine Master had consecrated that number by his own fast. Here is added some names to back up the statement that the apostles make that Lent was instituted by the apostles, or begun by the apostles. St. Jerome, St. Leo the Great, St. Cyril of Alexandria, St. Isidore of Seville, and other fathers of the Church all assure us that Lent was a practice begun by the apostles. Although he says there was no uniformity on how Lent was to be observed at that early time, and even to this day, other countries have different stipulations. Lent, then, is a time dedicated in a special way to doing acts of penance, mainly the penance of fasting and abstaining from meat. Abbé Guaranger also points out an interesting fact that abstinence was the commandment first put upon Adam and Eve, as a sort of reversal of their pride and obedience in not observing this abstinence from the fruit of the tree of knowledge. We see our Lord fasting for 40 days in preparation for our redemption and opening up the gates of heaven. So we too ought to strictly observe this abstinence as a way of saying, although our first parents failed in not abstaining, I will obey thee and humbly submit to these little penances prescribed by the Church and sanctified by Jesus Christ himself. But besides fasting and abstinence, there are other little sacrifices we can make as well. And they say that the best penances, or crosses, are the ones chosen by God for us to bear in life. Those we must, of course, accept and thank God for them. It would be worrying, actually, if God did not send little crosses and trials into our life. We might then have cause to stop and think, what am I doing wrong? God hasn't sent me any crosses. But those are involuntary penances. The ones we take upon ourselves are called voluntary penances and are commendable and very beneficial, although perhaps not so much as the ones God himself gives us. There was a little story I recall containing a lesson about the importance of accepting the crosses that God sends us. There was once a man who griped a lot about his cross, but he kept going. He struggled with his cross and kept casting his eyes to heaven and saying, why, Lord, have I been given a cross which is too big to carry? I thought you wouldn't give me anything I couldn't handle, but this is unbearable. Then the Lord answered him and said, very well, since you think that this is not the right cross for you, I will allow you to pick your own cross. And the man was transported to a room full of crosses, crosses of all sizes, large, some medium, small, some rough, some smooth, some heavier, and some lighter. The man put down his own cross and proceeded to go through the immense number of crosses. He tried almost every cross he could find, but was surprised that each time he took up a cross, it seemed even worse than the one he previously had. Finally, he found it, the one that he was sure he would be able to carry. It was heavy, but it was the best one fit for him out of all of them. This is the one, he said, and the Lord answered him, you have chosen it, now it is yours to keep. But you should know that the very one you have picked up is the original one I gave you before. So let us, dear friends in Christ, use this time before Lent well. Let us meditate on how we will make the best of Lent and make it the best one we have ever made, recalling that it may be our last. We know not the day nor the hour in which Jesus will call us home from this valley of tears. But what we do know is that we have been given plentiful opportunities to sanctify ourselves. So let us not arrive before the judgment seat of our Lord empty-handed. There will be no excuses and no more opportunities then. Now is the acceptable time. Let us be as the wise and prudent virgins in the gospel story who kept a vigilant watch in the night and a lamp full of oil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.